I happened to mention yesterday that in the biblical pattern of annunciations, and there are many of them, that today's is the gold standard. So we talked about the annunciation to Joseph, the annunciation to Zechariah, some of the Old Testament annunciations. And then there's this one. This is the annunciation. This is the turning point in history. And that's why the church has always celebrated this moment with great joy and solemnity, the moment of the incarnation, when Mary said yes to the angel. This Mass, the Mass in which this Gospel is read, has gained the name the Missa Aurea, the Golden Mass. The Golden Mass, because it's a golden moment. It's a precious moment when the Word becomes flesh. And so this moment, yes, we celebrate it today. It's fitting in this later part of Advent, but we in some ways celebrate it every day. Because this is when God entered the world. The tradition of the Angelus is a fruit of pondering and welcoming this moment when the Word became flesh. Well, there are many, many ways to reflect on this, and you've heard me preach about this many times, actually. I like to take the perspective, or the double perspective, the big picture and the little picture. I like this kind of reflection. The big picture is how God sees things, which we usually can't see until He reveals them. And then the little picture, what Mary experienced, and which is much closer to what we ourselves experience. We only see a very small part of what's going on. So I'd like to reflect on this Gospel and these readings, in fact, in light of this big perspective and little perspective, or you could say divine perspective and human perspective. Well, from God's perspective, this is no surprise. He's been preparing for this for a very long time. I mean, every moment is in God's mind all the time, so that's not the issue. It's not like He has to wait for it to come. But as He has brought His plan to unfold through the centuries, He's been preparing for this moment. He wants the Word to become flesh. Way back in the days of Isaiah, already he inspired Isaiah to prophesy that a sign would be given to the people of God, and that sign would be a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So way back, I guess centuries before, God had already indicated this is how it's going to happen. And then all the preparations for the coming of the Messiah, the choice of the chosen people, the choice of the tribe of Judah, the descendants of King David, and a couple of days ago we pondered the genealogy of Jesus. All through the centuries, God has been preparing, working with the human family for this moment. So that's big picture. And it's good to reflect on this once in a while, because when we don't know what's going on, it's good to step back and say, well, God certainly knows, and He's certainly at work in situations where we're confused or in the darkness or in sorrow. You say, well, God is not upset or confused or in darkness about anything, and nothing's impossible for Him. So it's consoling. If we trust in God and believe in His love, it's consoling to see how well orchestrated and how well ordered His kingdom is. Even though we don't see it most of the time. In fact, we never really see it fully in this life. Well, then we have the small picture, where we get up in the morning, we go through our day, we do our daily routines, and we just meet people and do our work, and you know, good and bad, and sometimes it's sunny and sometimes it's rainy, and we think these things are all insignificant. But that's not really true, is it? There's no really insignificant day. There's no really insignificant moments. They just seem that way to us because we don't understand how they fit together. And then Mary is living in her house. She's betrothed to Joseph, meaning she's already his wife, but she's not living with him. So she's a young woman. The tradition is that she's probably about 14. So a very young woman, and there she is at home. What is she doing? We don't know. Laundry? I don't know. Cooking? What do people do? Eating? Praying? Who knows? And an angel appears to her. The angel, Gabriel, with this extraordinary message. Now, Mary was not, you know, waiting for this to happen. She didn't expect an angel to show up and give this message, but it happened. God, this is the way it is with annunciations, right? God breaks in. God decides, I'm going to introduce a new idea here, not new to me, but new to you. And that's what happens here. And this is the greatest announcement, the greatest annunciation of all, to the greatest woman of all. And it is an invitation to make the greatest response to God of all. That's why this is a golden mass. Okay, Mary, you know, I don't want to go into all of it because there's so many beautiful and profound details to it. But okay, Mary, there's the message. You've been chosen by God. You've been highly favored by God. You're full of grace. And God wants you to be the mother of his son. And that son is going to be the eternal king. Who could ever take that in? Who could ever understand what that would mean? Even to this day, it's too big for us. So it certainly was too big for that 14-year-old virgin in the little town of Nazareth, kind of a backward area in Roman-occupied Palestine. Well, Mary's first question is not about all that, but about herself, because she is not living with Joseph, and it seems that she's not intending to have relations with a man, because she asks this question, how can this be? Now, if she were expecting to live with Joseph, a husband and wife, and expecting to have children by him, she would have naturally thought, well, this is an announcement about, I guess, the children of Joseph and me. But she didn't think that. She said, no, there's something that I don't understand here. How can this be? Seemingly an indication of her intention to remain a virgin. And then the angel answers that with another extraordinary announcement, that this wonderful conception is going to take place by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another mind-blowing revelation. And then, to fill out the picture, the angel tells her, well, your relative, Elizabeth, who's advanced in age and has never been able to conceive, she's already 6 months pregnant. So, you think anything's impossible for God? It's not. Don't put limits on the plan of God. And we know what happens. Mary makes the momentous decision to say yes to this announcement, this annunciation. And it's not just yes, like you could imagine a teenager saying, oh yeah, okay. Not a shrug your shoulders and saying, whatever. It's not that kind of a decision. She involves her whole self. She makes a yes with her whole being. She abandons herself to the will of God wholeheartedly. And remember, since she's not stained by sin, she's capable of doing this in a way that we're not, because we're so fragmented. But no, she's capable of saying a yes that is a total yes. And that's what opens the door for the incarnation, opens the womb for the incarnation. So it's just extraordinary. Now, I say, on the small level, on the human, from the human perspective, this is just one decision among many. Now, it's true, not every decision is the same. Some decisions are rather insignificant, whether you sit here or here, you know, whether you wake up at 5:30 or 5:35, that's not going to make a big difference. But some decisions, which seem just as small because they can be done in a moment, some decisions have enormous impact. And God has arranged it this way. This decision of Mary is much more like a marriage vow. Those of you who are married know that's a huge decision. That's not just, okay, whatever. That's a, I'm giving my whole self to this new situation. I'm putting my whole being into this new situation. That's like what people say when they get married. I do. Yes, I do. You take this man, you take this woman for the rest of your life. Yes, I do. Big decision. Now, it doesn't take any longer than to say, I'm going to get up at 5:35, or I'm going to sit in the front pew or the second pew, but it has enormous impact. Now, I like to reflect on this because this is where God has us in our capacity to make big decisions, to put our life in His hands in extraordinary ways. And these decisions have enormous impact, even though we don't know it and we don't see it in the moment. Mary didn't know how this was going to impact the world. She trusted in God. And that's what we're being invited to do. Now, in reflecting on this, I thought of this story. It's come out relatively recently, and maybe it doesn't fit because during the Golden Mass, we should think of higher things. But this story is about how one decision has enormous impact. It comes from the history of the Cold War during the tension between the United States and the Soviet Union, early 1960s. We studied this in school. I don't know if this sort of thing is studied here, but in the 1960s, the Soviets had an ally in Cuba, communist Cuba, which is very close to the United States, and the Soviets decided to establish some nuclear missiles in Cuba, which is only, I think it's, I don't know, 90 miles from Florida. So well within the range of the missiles. Well, the Americans found out about it and said, well, we don't like having nuclear weapons so right on our shore. And they said, no, you can't do that. And they set up a naval blockade of Cuba. This is back in 1962. Okay, so that's a very tense moment because these are the nuclear superpowers and they're facing off in the waters around Cuba. Well, anyway, the Soviets sent some submarines because they thought the submarines could go under the naval blockade and continue the reaching Cuba. And the Americans noticed, I guess by sonar, that there's a submarine down there, way down there. And they dropped some what they call depth charges to warn the submarine. And we know you're there, you better come up. So, but those down in the submarine, the Russian submarine, you know this story? Okay, you know it. So they're in the submarine. They're in deep water. They're cut off from communication with anybody, Moscow or Washington or anybody. And all they experience is these explosions in the depths of the ocean. And they think that the war has begun. Now, they have a nuclear torpedo. So the protocol, apparently, was when the war starts, shoot your torpedo at the American Navy. So, but you can't just push a button and blow up a nuclear weapon. There was a protocol, and that was the three chief officers of the submarine had to agree, had to be a unanimous decision. So, a captain and the, I don't know what else, three of the top officers. Well, two of them, because they were down in the depths of the ocean, they were running out of air, they had to do something, they thought the war had started, they said, this is what we have to do, this is our job. Let's stand up for our country and blow up the American Navy. One of the three refused. Vasily, what's his name? Arkhipov or something like that, Arkhipov. So he vetoed the decision. He stood by himself and made the decision, no, I won't approve. So I mentioned this story because it's historical and nobody knew this happened. In fact, it was 40 years before the news got out that one guy changed the course of history. Because if he had decided to go along with it, that would have started a nuclear war and could easily have done it, without exaggeration, could have ended the human race. Okay. Because once nuclear weapons start flying, there's no telling how they'll stop. Anyway, he decided, no, we won't do it. They surfaced the submarine and they were permitted to go back to the Soviets, and the tension was diffused. So why do I bring up this story? Well, because it's an example of how one decision can have enormous consequences. One decision can change the history of the world. We don't know. We don't know which decisions will have that kind of impact. But we do know that we belong to God, and that a yes to God is an opening to an enormous power, because nothing is impossible for God. That's the whole point of the message of the angel. Nothing is impossible for God. Mary tells us, say yes to God. Say yes to this limitless power of God. Open yourself and dedicate your whole person to this great power, because it changes the world. It changes the world. It's a way of saying yes to the incarnation. We don't literally we don't become pregnant in the way Mary became pregnant, but we do receive, in the Eucharist, we do receive the incarnation. But this yes is a yes to the incarnation, but it's also a yes to all that the incarnation means until the end of time. Meaning, once you say yes to God, you accept the whole chain reaction of God continuing his work. That's extraordinary. Don't be like Ahaz and say, no, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to open myself to God. No, be like Mary and say yes to God, and continue that yes with your whole being. Then you can celebrate with great joy the coming of God and the action of God in the world.